John Bunyan once said, you should never preach on anything that you haven't experienced yourself. And I'm glad this isn't a sermon. This is not preaching. This is teaching. So I have no grandchildren yet. And I hope these things all come in due time and good order. And I probably 10 years from now, God willing, do this talk a bit differently. So with that caveat aside, let me say to you that I have been observing grandparents for many years. I've talked to lots of grandparents, and I've asked a lot of grandparents about grandparenting, and I've put together some principles here. I then sent them to my brother, who has a number of grandchildren, and said, brother, I need your help. Give me some more wisdom. And I said, track your changes. And he came back, and he had maybe 15 word changes of the document I sent him. But then he had two or three additional thoughts, which were really good ones. And so I've incorporated those here as well. So 90% of this is me. 10% is my experienced brother. God has a vision for our children, not only, but also our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Psalm 78 says that we should teach the generation to come so that they might know the truths of God. And then it says, even the generation of children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Now that's just part of the thousand generation vision that God is presenting to us. And I find this fascinating, that God is saying, I'm thinking about your children that are not yet born, and I'm thinking about when they arise and declare my truth to the children of the children that are not yet born. So God's thinking at least a few generations of people that aren't even here yet. What a vision. What an encouragement to embrace your role as grandparents and to strive to be faithful in that role. In some ways, being a grandparent gives you a second chance to do what you failed to do with your own children. And that's a challenge, but also it's a gracious indication of God to give you another opportunity. Particularly if you've neglected teaching your children in the ways of the Lord, you have a chance now to do so with your grandchildren. Now, there are two things I want to say by way of introduction. And first is, and this is an obvious one, love your grandchildren. Play with them. Read to them. Tell them stories about what is good and honorable and true and biblical. And do remember that when you love your grandchildren, you're actually showing love to your own children. Your kindness to your grandchildren will melt the hearts of your children and will endear your children the more to you and you to them. Every parent loves to see loving attention paid to their child. I mean, even when we exit the doors of the church on Sunday evening, when children walk out and shake my hand, and I get down and look at them straight in the eyes and say a warm word to them, 99% of the chance of the time, the mother standing behind that child is smiling. Because it touches, you see, even a small greeting to a child, paying attention to a child means so much to a mother and to a father. And so, do you really want to love your children? And you want them to keep loving you? Love the grandchildren. Love the grandchildren. I used to tease my dad when he was still alive, and we'd drive down to Kalamazoo, and, you know, Calvin would be in my arms, 2 years old maybe, and my dad would just like reach out and lunge for Calvin, you know, and take him and start walking around the kitchen and showing him open all the counters and giving them peppermint and looking all. And I was just like standing back, and my wife just really enjoying this, you know. So, oh, Dad, by the way, I'm here too, you know. But actually, I loved it. I just loved it. It just melted my heart to see my dad handle my children that way. There's something about that, isn't it? You can't put it into words, but it's this multi-generational thing. I see my dad, who brought me up in the fear of God, starting to teach my children. Sorry. When my dad died, you know, I thought I'd miss him so terribly, and I did. But it was different. It was shaped different than I thought it would be. I missed him more for the sake of my children than I did for my own sake, honestly. So, grandparenting is very, very important. Love those grandchildren. And secondly, reach out to them. Take the initiative to reach out to them. You know, some grandparents just kind of moan and groan that their children don't pay enough attention to them. They're always hurt. Their children don't call them as often as they should. And I guess there's a certain legitimacy to that, but it gets wearisome. Why don't you just take the initiative yourself and go out and reach out to the grandchildren. And maybe your children will respond to you more if you reach out more to the grandchildren. And offer to help. And write notes of encouragement to the grandchildren. And call the grandchildren. Call the grandchildren out of the blue. I just want to speak to you, Sarah. Wow, Sarah feels very special. And ask your grandchildren questions. And listen to their answers. And dialogue with them. And look them in the face. And have real conversation. You've got time on your hands, hopefully, to be with them. However, as you reach out, don't become a kind of Santa Claus figure to your grandchildren. That you give them whatever they want. I've noticed this problem with some grandparents. It's actually fairly common, I think. The children turn their children over to the grandparents for a little while, and the grandparents say, oh, okay, now it's our time, our turn, and we will just spoil them rotten. And then when the kids go back to the parents have got weeks of work to do to undo what grandma has done. You can't just spoil them rotten. You've got to reach out to them, yes, but you don't undermine the authority of the parents of your grandchildren. And that includes, of course, I'm sure you understand this, never, ever, ever criticize your son, your daughter, your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law in front of your grandchildren. And don't ever interfere either with the administration of their discipline of these children. If a tragedy such as death or divorce brings your grandchildren into another home, you've got to respect and support the parents who are now their guardians as well. So be careful to know your own boundaries. All right, let's have some practical advice now. I've got five things to say to you today. First, offer advice only with discretion. Be careful about giving unsolicited advice to your children about how to parent. You know, as your children grow up in teen years, you've got to give them more responsibility. And you've learned, of course, as they're in their upper teens, not to pursue every molehill. And also you've learned, I trust, to speak to them in a way that shows that you're not trying to correct them all the time. You see them making some mistakes and you hold your mouth. And the big things, yes, you go after. Well, that training should be all the more intense when you see your children now in a new home unit, not under your roof, not under your authority. Then you've got to be even more careful not to usurp that authority and not to offer unsolicited advice. Now, I would lay this down as a rule of thumb. Never give your children advice in front of the grandchildren. That's always a mistake. You need to recognize they're starting a new family unit and that your grandchildren are not your children. There is a difference. So if you try to tell your children, especially an in-law, like you're a grandma and you see your son married to a daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law doesn't do nearly as good job, you're sure, as you did raising your children, and you may be right, and you see the daughter-in-law making all kinds of mistakes, and you start feeling sorry for your son, you know how it goes, and you just want to say something so badly. Don't. Don't. You will just build walls of resentment. Set a guard on your lips. Now, the exception to that is when they ask you for your advice, then it's fine. Just don't let it pour out endlessly then. Still control yourself a little bit. But the other exception is when you see your children blatantly sinning. For example, if you see your son neglecting to maintain any form of family worship in his home, you should pull him aside. Talk to him lovingly, gently. Using the sandwich technique, of course, beginning with a layer of affirmation, then following with the meat of your advice, and then topping it off with another layer of loving affirmation. But even then, it's far better to go to your immediate child rather than the in-law. You have a little more freedom with your immediate child because you've earned that right over the years. But even then, earnestly pray for the right opportunity, the right time, and the right words. And when you do give some advice, don't do it in a patronizing manner. Don't fixate on the wrong. Make it brief and short and loving and kind. And capitalize on the positive. Now, if you do give advice and you discover that your children are not following your advice, then you need grace to submit again. They're responsible for their own actions. Then you need to simply speak to the Lord about your children even more than you speak to your children about the Lord. And you can pray for another opportunity, perhaps, when they are better prepared to listen. But don't force your way. Number two, make spiritual use of family gatherings. My father was very, very good at this. When family gatherings, you know, in times of worship, he'd open the Bible and read to them and pray, and he'd urge them sometimes with love and with tears to follow Christ. You don't need long messages here, but children need to see the affection and the passions of your heart for the Lord as grandparents. And that can make more impression than anything else. And do make use of times when you have your grandchildren in your own home. If you still have the wherewithal and the ability to bring your children into your home, that's wonderful. We have that blessing here with my wife's parents in Grand Rapids, and once a week we go and have a meal in their home, and it's just wonderful. But that's an opportunity. And my grandfather Camp does that. He opens the Bible, reads it, says a few words to the children every time. My children will never forget that. Their whole lifetime. Take those opportunities. There are certain ways, you see. A few words here in an appropriate place, a few words there. Even when you ask them, even when they ask you how you're doing, I mean, you could say, I'm doing fairly well by the grace of God. Or whatever. Just find a way of bringing God into the picture. And when you give gifts, why go out looking all over around town for gifts? You can just come to RHB and get them a good book. Good books are the things to give your kids. They're the best gifts. Give your grandchildren. Find a book appropriate for their age. It's so easy. And it can be life-changing. They can find some other, someone else can give them a shirt or other things that they don't really need. I mean, they need books, not shirts. All right. That was a little plug for RHB. Number three, offer to take care of the grandchildren when needed. Grandparents differ on how much babysitting they will do. And you, of course, have your own level of expectation there, and your children have to respect you. Some grandparents want to babysit as much as possible. They're always available. You don't need to feel guilty if you don't feel that way. My dad used to say, glad to see the headlights when they come in the driveway and glad to see the taillights when they go out. So, you know, it is stressful sometimes as grandparents. You're starting to get a bit older and the kids are full of rambunctiousness, and your children need to recognize that as well. I think the fundamental rule of thumb here would be to be willing, if your children want you to be willing to push yourself a little bit beyond what you would normally care to do. But don't push yourself so far that you actually become resentful and say, oh man, I just had grandchildren three times this week and I just can't handle another time. And then say yes. No, you need to have a level of expectation with your children. But do err on the side of being a servant to your children and grandchildren rather than a selfish figure of aloofness. Now, when you do babysit your grandchildren, don't be afraid to have your own rules. If the grandchildren are coming into your home, you have your own rules. But even then, be sensitive to the rules your children have set in their home and try not to blatantly contradict them in any way. But you can have your own rules for discipline. Now, maybe you have children and they don't discipline your grandchildren at all. And you're upset about that. Well, be careful not to overdo it to the other extreme and really, you know, be spanking the kid every 2 minutes. But you have the right to discipline those children in your home according to your rules. Now, when your children do come over, your grandchildren come over, don't just have them over. Take time to connect with them and do things together. Make a puzzle, or build a birdhouse, clean up the elderly widow's yard next door, or bake together, or do crafts, or go fishing. I'm talking now here about boy things and girl things. I'm mixing them together, but you know what I mean. Be creative. I know some grandparents who take each of their grandchildren on one overnight trip with them. When they get to be 10 years old. Those children look forward to that for years. They never forget it. So every time they go to the same place, beautiful place, with each grandchild. So the 10-year-old says to the 8-year-old, man, that was a lot of fun. Oh, the 8-year-old says, I can't wait. 2 years they're looking forward to it. Then they enjoy it, and they never forget it their whole life. Wow, that's quality time well spent. Date your grandchildren. This is an idea my brother sent me. Date your grandchildren. Girls love to have dinner at a nice restaurant alone with grandpa and grandma, and boys love to engage in a meaningful outing or activity with their grandparents. Number four, model a heavenly hope. Show your grandchildren that your mind, providing it is, and I hope it is fixed on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Please don't be the kind of grandparent who uses retirement years merely for personal recreation and setting wrong, selfish goals. You can actually inflict harm on your grandchildren. They could say, that's the way to live when I get old? Heavenly treasure is won and best shown by earthly service. Your children need to see you serving others. And they need to see that by faith in Christ, you are not overwhelmed by death, but that you actually are trampling death underfoot, that you're not brooding over your health problems and bitter about your trials and disappointments. But they ought to see you bringing your fears your cancer, your pains to the throne of Christ, and speaking often to them about the delights of heaven and your anticipation of being there. Show your children, show your grandchildren how to live on the edge of eternity, knowing that even the youngest child is only a heartbeat away from death. We must all be prepared. And number five, be an example of what it means to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Christ, walking by faith and not by sight. You know, when your grandchildren are with you, try to forget your own troubles and concerns and be interested in them and be an encouragement to them and pray for them and pray for them by name. Pray for them with particular petitions suited to their needs. Let them feel that when they walk in your door, Grandpa and Grandma really care about them, care about their test in school tomorrow or yesterday, care about their progress intellectually, socially, who their friends are, care about their interests, care about what they want to be in the future, care about their soul most of all, their spiritual growth. So pray for them and live a life of practical, positive godliness before their eyes. You know, sometimes grandparents, especially when they get old and very old, maybe great-grandparents, and they get into a nursing home or something, they feel useless. They say, why am I still here? Why am I alive? But they forget the power of prayer and the example of a godly, loving grandparent. Grandparents have a mission from God to persevere in obedient faith and prayer in front of their grandchildren. When you become a grandparent, you may think this is the least productive stage of your life. You are so busy caring for your children for 20, 30 years. Now it's all over and it's just coasting to the end. No, no, no. You're not just coasting to the end. You are grandparents. They may be the most fruitful years of your life because now you're freed from a lot of other responsibilities and you're able to devote yourselves unreservedly to prayer and to exemplary living for your grandchildren. And the prayers of God's people, particularly grandparents for grandchildren, are mighty weapons in the arsenal of God. You know, once I visited a member of our church, maybe 20 years ago, who's been in and out of the hospital quite a bit. She's actually still alive, still a member of our church today. So I won't mention name, but she was in a great deal of pain when I visited her. And she taught me something. Oh, it was so good and powerful. I'd never forgotten it. But I prayed with her. And I prayed earnestly for her. But when I got done, I made a bad mistake. I shook her hand, and before I left, I said, her face was grimacing with pain. I meant it well, actually. I said, I wish there was something I could do for you. And boy, oh boy, did she give it to me. She said, Pastor, I must rebuke you. You just did something for me more important than what the physicians and the nurses could do for me. You lifted up my name to the Almighty God of heaven and earth. Don't you ever say that again. You wish you could do something for us. You did the most important thing. Wow. I said, I'm so sorry. I stand rebuked. I'm completely wrong. You are completely right. But that's how you should feel for your grandchildren. The folded hands and the whispered words of a godly grandparent can move the world. That's your calling. So in conclusion, build your family, not just one generation. Build your family with that 1,000-generation vision we talked about last week on the covenant of grace. Trust God in his covenant. God doesn't ask you to sit on your hands and do nothing as grandparents, but raise those grandchildren in the hope of his promise. John Calvin put it this way, let us also hope that God will continue the same towards our children and grandchildren, which he has begun towards us, if we serve him by doing the things that he commands us. You see then, this is still Calvin, that the goodness which God shows us in his word must never make us slothful and careless, but rather be a spur to prick us forward unto him for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, John says, are walking in the truth. But that's multiplied exponentially. My grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, walking in the truth. And Psalm 78, I'll close with this. Psalm 78 says that the goal of all this is that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, the generations not yet born, might set their hope in God and might not be like their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation. So these are challenging words. What they're actually saying is when we have this thousand-generation vision before us, we're concerned to raise up generations of believers better than ourselves, stronger in faith, more in love with God, better instructed in the word, better equipped to serve him. You know, one of my favorite things to say to the theological students in the seminary is, men, the reason I stand here today is I want you to be a far better minister than I ever was and ever am and ever will be. I want you to be better trained than I ever was. A more godly man than I've ever been. That's my burden. I mean, I want to be an example for them, but I want them to go beyond me. And you see, that's how we should feel about our children and our grandchildren. That they will be more obedient, more godly, more fruitful in their faithful discharge of their parental office than we have ever been. So, serve your grandchildren with love and with prayer. Let's pray together. Gracious God, please bless this little talk and use it for the encouragement and perhaps also in some ways conviction of the grandparents who are here, and use it also in some way, Lord, for those of us who are not yet grandparents, that we might get our moorings straight before we begin this journey. Help us to truly model exemplary living and to be praying grandparents. And do help us to keep the thousand generation vision before us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.